Let's read the title together. Amen. The Second Coming of Christ and the Rapture of the Saints. I would just like to share a verse with you in 2 Peter 1:19. It says, "And you do well to give heed." Oh no, it says, and we have the prophetic word. We have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed, as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. So today, 2012, we have the prophetic word made more firm. If we just take a brief look throughout history, we would appreciate the open Bible that we have today. Peter likens the prophetic word to a lamp shining in a dark place. And you could also say that the day dawning is the age of the kingdom coming in. So preceding the day dawning is the darkest hour in the night. Christ will appear as the morning star to all those who love his appearing. So today the hour is dark, but saints, we have the prophetic word made more firm. We have a lamp shining in a dark place. And this prophetic word actually is able to lead us all the way to the dawning day, which is the age of the kingdom. So after the early apostles passed away, the church fell into many problems. There was many myths and many worldly philosophies that were creeping into the church. So to counteract this situation, there was a few councils that took place. And eventually, by 590 AD, there was the papal system established. And the Catholic Church was universally accepted. For 10 centuries following, the Bible was closed to God's people. Only a select few could read the Word, could open the Bible. This is called the Dark Ages. The Bible was completely closed to God's people. So actually, any day that you don't read the Bible is a dark day. So after this, after 10 centuries in darkness, the Lord raised up Martin Luther, and the truths began to be open to God's people. So in 1517, Martin Luther was raised up. Following that, in the 1800s, the British Brethren were raised up by the Lord to start revealing the truths concerning the coming of Christ and the rapture of the overcomers. Standing upon their shoulders, Watchman Nee and Witness Lee have crystallized the coming back, the second coming of the Lord, and the rapture of the overcomers. So today, we can honestly say that we have the prophetic word made more firm. But saints, we need to give heed. We need to give heed to it as a lamp shining in a dark place. Many people have approached this matter of the Lord's second coming just to know the signs in the form of knowledge. But there has also been a group of believers that have lived a life of awaiting and expecting the Lord's coming. So this can be, and it was brought out earlier, like in Matthew, when the Magi were redirected, they saw the star which was leading them to the first coming of Christ, the incarnation of Christ. But they were redirected to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, there were the chief priests and the scribes who saw the promise in Micah 5:2 that the Lord would be born in Bethlehem. They knew the promise, but they did not go. They were not giving heed to the promise the Lord had given them. But the Magi, they saw the star. The star appeared to them. In our experience today, we need to be those who experience Christ as the morning star today. Amen. So, in Revelation, the Lord has a promise. And this promise was given to John, the apostle, in Revelation 22:20, where the Lord encouraged John. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." And John echoed this promise. He stood on the Lord's word and said, "Amen." Right? He said, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Saints, you could say that this prayer should be our echo today. We need to pray this prayer, stand on the Lord's promise, and expect His coming. These promises are all throughout the book of Revelation. So Revelation is clear that the Lord will come a second time. So the signs of Christ's coming. There are many landmarks which have taken place and still have to take place. The first one is the restoration of the nation of Israel. We know that after World War II, the British mandate was taken down, and Israel had to fight for their nation. It was seemingly impossible. After more than 1,000 years of Israel without a nation, it was seemingly impossible that this prophecy would be fulfilled. But in 1948, the nation of Israel was restored. Amen. Amazingly defeating the surrounding countries that encompassed them. This prophecy was a great sign of the Lord's second coming. Amen. And this was only about 70 years ago. So in Matthew 24, the nation of Israel is likened to a fig tree. And it speaks of the fig tree shooting forth and its branches bearing fruit, becoming tender. This signifies the nation of Israel becoming, or the people of Israel becoming a nation and also becoming established. And so we know today that they are thriving as a nation more than ever before. The next major landmark is the rebuilding of the temple. And in Matthew 24:15, it speaks of the abomination of desolation being set up in the temple. This reveals to us that the third temple will be rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem. Currently, right now, there is the Dome of the Rock in its place. But just like the children of Israel regained their nation, hopefully we will live to see the rebuilding of the temple. And this will be a great landmark of the Lord's second coming. Furthermore, there will be the rising up of Antichrist and the revival of the Roman Empire. And we can see this already forming in Europe, where the European Union has already been established, has even unified economically. Now, there has been some political union being formed, but in a very passive way. So the world situation is giving us clues, major hints, of the Lord's second coming. Amen. On our side, we have a glorious commission. Amen. And this is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom has been commissioned to God's people, not only for the sake of saving many souls, but actually it's for God's kingdom. And God wants to bring His kingdom to the earth. And so the Lord, actually in Revelation 6, The first seal is the white horse, and this signifies the gospel running throughout the whole earth. So today, we are very much burdened for the West San Gabriel Valley, and that the white horse would gospelize, right? We want the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, to spread to all the nations. And then finally, as a major sign, beginning with the sixth seal, the shaking of the earth and the heavens, which will be the beginning of the great tribulation. So, there is a procedure. Let me just keep track of time. So the procedure will begin first in heaven with the rapture of the overcomers before the 3.5 years of the great tribulation. So it was mentioned yesterday about the 70 weeks. The last week will be the 7 years before the close of the age and before the bringing in of the kingdom. The first 7 years will be initiated by the covenant Antichrist makes to bring peace in the Middle East with the nation of Israel. This will begin the 7 years. After 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation will begin. You could say that during these 3.5 years, the Lord's parousia will begin. Actually, the word parousia in Greek means coming or His presence. So the Lord's second coming will be a duration of time and not just a single event. So it will first begin in the heavens. And the initiation of the Lord's coming will be the rapture of the overcoming believers. And we will see this in another slide. And then also, the Lord's manifestation, His open coming will be at the end of the Great Tribulation during the last day. So now we come to the two kinds of rapture of the saints. So the rapture in Revelation 14 is likened to a harvest. And the 144,000, which you could say are the living overcomers, are mentioned as the first fruits. Now, I don't know how many of us have experience in farming, but in a harvest, before the harvest, there are first fruits. These first fruits are produced earlier than the rest of the harvest. The harvest, you could say, is a field of wheat, which typifies the believers in the aspect of life. So the believers today have to be matured in the way of life in order to be raptured. So the rapture is not only because you believe in the Lord, but actually it's the growth of the divine life within you. It is the preparation that we go through today, the growth in life that we experience today, that will enable us to be raptured by the Lord. And this, as the overcomers, we will be, you could say, stolen by the Lord. In Matthew 24, his coming is likened to a thief. And so his first coming will be a secret coming. It'll be hidden. And he will be in the third heavens. The man-child will be raptured, which is the dead overcoming saints who have loved not their soul life even unto death. So these overcoming believers have passed away. But during this time, they will be raptured to meet before the throne of God. And not only them, but the living overcomers will be raptured to Mount Zion, to the heavens, to meet the Lord. And so these are the first fruits. The believers who have matured in life, who have experienced Christ and His organic salvation. So the Lord will come as a thief, and a thief steals precious things. So today, we need to be precious to the Lord, right? We should meet Him every day in a hidden way, so that we one day, maybe even one morning, we will be stolen by Him. And this will be precious, because it will be hidden. And this will be before the great tribulation. So, also, the rest of the overcoming believers, of course, will be raptured to Christ's presence as well. So, in Matthew, it speaks of two will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. They're seemingly doing normal daily things, but there's something different about one of them. You could say that this one has matured in the divine life, is constantly exercising his or her spirit so that the Lord may take them. So, and then point B, we see that there will be, you could say, a post-tribulation rapture, where the believers who have to pass through these 3.5 years, where there will be natural calamities, there will be the persecution of God's people on the earth, there will be destruction and famine. This will be the hour of trial that God's people will have to go through. And at the end, during the last day, the Lord's presence will be brought from the third heavens to the air, and finally to the earth. And so this final rapture will take place in the last day, during the last trumpet. So also, as I mentioned before, the attitude and preparation we should have toward the Lord's coming. So we know that there are many believers who approach this matter in the way of knowledge, expecting, just waiting for significant events to take place. But on the contrary, the Lord is actually waiting for His people. Today, the Lord desires for the body of Christ, the universal church, to be built up. Amen. For His bride to be prepared so that He can return. So point A says, the Lord does not delay regarding the promise, as some count delay, but is long-suffering toward you, not intending that any perish, but that all advance to repentance, and count long-suffering, and count the long-suffering of our Lord to be salvation. So today, we shouldn't think that the Lord is delaying. We know that many people, because of false prophecies, have mocked the Lord's second coming. But today we should stand firm, like Paul. Paul said that he was fighting the good fight, right? At the end of the race, he said he fought the good fight, and he kept the faith. And he said that the Lord would recompense him, but not only him, but also all those who love His appearing. So we need to be those who love the Lord's appearing, right? Not count the Lord's coming as a delay, but we should expect it every day, even waiting upon Him every day and expecting Him to come. In point B, it speaks of the Lord as a thief. But the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements, burning with intense heat, will be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up. Since all these things are to be thus dissolved, what kind of persons ought you to be in holy manner of life and godliness, expecting and hastening the coming day of God, on account of which the heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved, and the elements, burning with intense heat, are to be melted away. Amen. So here Peter speaks of the kind of persons we ought to be in a holy manner of life and godliness. This too is on the aspect of life, the kind of person we should be. So today, just like in Matthew 24, it is regarding the prudent virgins who buy the oil. This is a matter of organic salvation. When we exercise our spirit, we are experiencing this much more salvation. And this actually produces this life of godliness, this mystery of godliness where God is expressed in us. So C is regarding our service. Let me just skip to the bottom. Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace through which we may serve God well-pleasingly with piety and fear. So here in Hebrews, it speaks of the worldly things being shaken. But this is so that the unshakable kingdom of God could come. On our side, we have to receive grace, right? So that our service to God will be well-pleasing in piety and fear. Also in Matthew 25, there is a parable of the talents giving to the Lord's faithful slaves. And so this is another matter, another aspect of our service before the Lord. He has given us each a talent as believers that we need to invest with our whole being so that we may be pleasing to Him. Furthermore, indeed, beware, brothers, lest perhaps there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God, but exhort one another each day, as long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sins. So today, as we are awaiting the Lord's return, we should encourage one another and exhort one another. So in point E, we should be saved to become the children of God. So in preparation of the Lord's second coming, the primary matter is that we receive the Lord. Amen. The Lord will come a second time to judge the living and the dead. And so we want to be those taken to be with the Lord for eternity. Right. In order for this to occur, we need to receive Him as our life. Amen. In John 1, 12 through 13, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to become children of God, to those who believe into His name, who were begotten of God." Amen. Point two says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. So this is not a matter of being a good person ethically, living a good life morally, but of receiving the divine life within us. Amen. And of this matter, and of this life growing within us, which we will see in the next slide. But he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. But he who does not believe shall be condemned. So in Revelation, as we saw a few days ago, the Lord was the Lion Lamb. We don't want to be those who meet the Lord as such a fierce one. But we want the Lord to be precious to us. We want His second coming to be dear to us. So we should be those who receive the Lord's life and become His children. So after we receive the Lord's life, immediately we should undergo this process of transformation. And so point one speaks of, or let me just read F, we should overcome to become the first fruits. So like I mentioned before, the first fruits are the matured believers who are raptured at the Lord's coming before the great tribulation. And so in order to be mature, we need to be, we need to experience two matters. Number one, being prudent virgins, not only having oil in our lamps, but also preparing oil in our vessels by being saturated and filled with the Spirit of God. In Matthew 24, there was 10 virgins. You could say that these virgins were all believers. Five of them were prudent, and five of them were foolish. Actually, all of them had oil in their vessels. Actually, oil in their lamps. This means that they had the Spirit of God within them as the oil in their lamps. But they did. The five foolish ones did not have the extra supply in their vessels. This means that the faithful, the prudent ones, allowed the Spirit of God to spread within their soul, even to transform them. So before the Lord's coming, they were experiencing organic salvation. And this is the way they became prudent before the Lord's coming. And then in point two, by being faithful slaves, using to the uttermost the talents given to us by the Lord, preaching the gospel and nourishing the new ones to gain interest for the Lord. In this parable, in Matthew 25, there was talents given to the Lord's slaves. The first one received 5 talents. And instead of burying it, he invested it and received 5 more. So when the Lord came back, he received, the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I will set you over many things." So the last slave actually was imprudent, and he had 1 talent. But instead of investing it, he buried this talent. But it's interesting, the Lord said to the Lord, that I know that you are right a hard master who reaps where he does not sow. So even though we may be those with 1 talent, the Lord is still faithful. We should still honor the Lord as a righteous master. Amen. So today, the way we prepare for the Lord's coming is first by becoming His children, Amen. By receiving the divine life within us. And also, we prepare by maturing in the divine life, allowing the Spirit within us to spread to our soul and even to our mortal body so that we can be the first fruits for the Lord to take when He comes back. Amen. Let me just mention that these matters are very much connected. Amen. The Lord's second coming, the rapture of the believers, and our attitude. So during the last 7 years of the present age, actually, if we wait by that time, it will be too late. So today, we are called to be faithful and prudent slaves. Amen. Faithful by the growth in life, by the Lord's Spirit spreading within us, and also, so this is regarding our living. But we should not only be living, but we should also be active. Amen. And this involves our service. And our service to the Lord is in our preaching the gospel. Before the last 3.5 years, we know that there will be an intensified spread of the gospel of the kingdom to all the nations for a testimony. Alongside the gospel of the kingdom being spread, the fifth seal shows us that there are the prayers of the martyrs being ascended to God on behalf of God's people. So our prayer today should match both. In Luke, it says that we should be beseeching the Lord continually so that we may be able to escape the hour of trial. So on the Lord's side, He is waiting. He is causing the outward situations to match His timing. But on our side, we need to cooperate with the Lord by beseeching Him. We should be our prayers should be aligned with the prayers underneath the altar by the martyred saints. And not only so, but we should beseech the Lord for the gospel of the kingdom to be spread. This will actually begin the great tribulation. And just before that, the Lord's appearing, the aspect of the Lord's appearing in a secret way will occur. And so just as I mentioned before, even though the Lord will come in a secret way, there will still be believers left on the earth. And so as believers, the believers left upon the earth should not be discouraged, but actually should be encouraged because the Lord will still be able to take them. So even though today we don't know when the Lord will come in a hidden way, but actually we do know when He will come in an open way. That is revealed to us. And that is after the last 7 years. So actually, the world situation has been prepared. The children of Israel receive their nation. We are waiting for the third temple to be rebuilt, which, according to modern times, rebuilding a temple will not take very long. Right? If we wait till then, it'll be too late. So we need to be diligent, faithful, and prudent. And saints, we should stand on the Lord's promise. Right? We should stand and take heed to the prophetic word. It is so clear. The Lord's second coming is so clear today to us. And the rapture of the saints, in a detailed way, has been made known to us. So we don't have excuses. The Bible is not closed to us. We have the prophetic word. Let's read Revelation 22:20, and I'll just conclude with that.
He who testifies to saints says,
"Yes, I come quickly." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So this is the Lord's promise He has given to us. So today, we should be those who pray this prayer for the Lord and expect His return. By remaining faithful and prudent virgins, and also diligent slaves for the Lord's return. Amen. Practically, this means we need to be growing in life, allowing the Lord's life to mature in us, and also in our service to the Lord, we should be diligent.